No, I want to read verse 2 again. It says, "Name that through ages to come shall outring. It's an everlasting name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It'll never die." It says, "Jesus, the Lamb who was for sinners was slain. Soon to the earth he is coming as King, coming in power and glory to reign." And verse 3 says, "Kingdoms of earth shall be yielded to God." You know, in the millennium, the kingdoms of the earth are going to be yielded to God. It says, "Glorious the reign with our Lord on the throne." That's when he comes back here and we reign with him. And here's a bit here. It says, "Chained the usurper and broken his rod." Satan has no power. He's bound for 1,000 years. We ought to be glad as Christians. We ought to be glad, you know, that Christ has won the victory. We'll sing again from verse 2, 3 and 4 before our pastor comes. So we'll start again verse 2 and we'll sing this again. You know, it's a lovely hymn and we don't sing it often enough. And the more we sing it, the better we'll get at it. So,
"Name that through ages to come shall outring, Jesus the Lamb who for sinners was slain. Soon to this earth he is coming as King, coming in power and glory to reign. Far above all, God hath exalted him far above all. Crown him as Lord at his feet humbly fall. Jesus Christ, Jesus, is far above all. Kingdoms of earth shall be yielded to God. Glorious the reign with our Lord on the throne. Chained the usurper and broken his rod. Jesus as King every nation shall own. Far above all, God hath exalted him far above all. Crown him as Lord at his feet humbly fall. Jesus Christ, Jesus, is far above all. Jesus, my Savior, I yield unto thee. Reign in my heart as Redeemer and Lord. Make me what thou wouldest have me to be. Fill with thy Spirit and fill with thy word. Far above all, God hath exalted him far above all. Crown him as Lord at his feet humbly fall.
Jesus Christ, Jesus, is far above all."
Praise the Lord. That's so true tonight, isn't it? Jesus Christ, Jesus is far above all. Next Sunday evening after our service, we're going to just stay behind for a wee cup of tea for Sister Carl before she goes. And I think Carl's gone for about 68 months now, and then she's coming back. So the Lord bless Sister Carl as she goes. And comes back, and David as well. And then there's another couple thinking of going to Australia now as well. Simon and his wife for a holiday. Then they're talking about emigrating as well. So everybody's heading to Australia. I think it's the heat doing it. It's the sunshine's doing it. But it's a long flight over to Australia. And there's a long flight, but the Lord bless you. So next Sunday night we're going to have a cup of tea after service, and for Sister Carol, praise God. Let's turn to Jeremiah, and this is really gospel message tonight, but I'm going to preach it anyhow and share some things this evening. And there's a few people missing, perhaps, but We'll go on. Keep Brother Gary and Sister Ruth and the family in prayer the night as they preach down in Belfast for Brother Billy in Ava Street. Let's read Jeremiah 8, verse 20 to 22. And I'll put a title in this tonight, God's Last Call to Heaven. The harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt, I am black, astonished, have taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of my daughter of my people recovered? Let's bow our heads this evening, and if you have a need tonight, just lift your hand to the Lord and we'll remember you in prayer this evening. God bless, God bless. Praise God, God bless. Heavenly Father, we do bow before you tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your mercy and we thank you for your grace tonight. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will move in our service tonight and that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that you'll bless those that came and touch those that need your touch and those that would listen in, minister unto them, Lord, I pray in Jesus' precious name. And Lord, I just take the Holy Spirit to help me right now. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Sanctify us and cleanse us with thy precious blood and the washing of the water of thy word. Bless Brother Gary tonight. Anoint him, give him an unction. Use him in Belfast, Lord, and the whole family down there. Just be with them and speak to men and women there tonight. And may somebody get saved, we pray. And Jesus' precious name. For us here, Lord, help us and give us clarity of speech this evening and encourage your own people here tonight. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. We know that God has a time when God moves and there is a harvest in the natural. When you have to harvest and that harvest time comes and that harvest time goes. It can pass away just like the natural harvest, so is the spiritual harvest. And the people here of Judah were warned again and again by the prophet Jeremiah of the approaching captivity, but they wouldn't repent of their sins. And when the Babylonians' army surrounded Jerusalem, besieging the city, they likely believed that the armies of Egypt would come out against Nebuchadnezzar and force him to break the siege. Surely before the ripening of the harvest would waste in the fields, the siege would be broken, and they could gather the harvest and the food and plenty, and they thought that they didn't need to repent and they didn't need to seek God. But the siege grew tighter, and it grew about them, and there was gaunt starvation that stalked them through the cities. And the mothers cooked and ate their own children. That's how much their starvation was. And the crops wasted in the fields and they depended on and they weren't there. And any crops that there was there, the Babylonians reaped them. And the Jews were left to starve or surrender. And their cry was this, the harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we're not saved. And this is where this scripture comes from. That's the brief background of it. The opportunity for deliverance had passed. And every man and woman who will end up in hell is because they've let God's harvest time pass. It's not because they didn't know it and they weren't told about it, but they've let it pass. They've let it slip. They've left it too long and too late. Isaiah 55 and 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. 2 Timothy 4 and 2 says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. And it's like a funeral service or a wedding service that the people say, we don't need gospel preaching at them type of services. But I believe in the words of Timothy that we're to do it in season and out of season because there's a harvest time and the harvest time can pass. And the preacher that misses an opportunity. Not only does he miss an opportunity, but every preacher will stand before God and give an account what he's done with what God's given him. And I tell you, we want to have our hands clean from blood and know that we have done our part. Now, there's six basic harvests concerning man I want to look at tonight. And the first one is the harvest of youth. Most people get saved when they're young. Most of the rest are lost and end up in a place God never made for man. That's hell. Now, I know some people get saved when they're old. I know that. I believe that. But most people actually get saved when they're young. And when you look at the great evangelists over the years and the campaigns they had, 90% of their conversions was young people. Very few old people. And the scripture's clear in this, that we're to seek God and be saved. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while evil days come not. Now the years draw nigh when I shall say, I have no pleasure in them. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Matthew 19:14, and Jesus said, suffer little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. And chapter 18 of Matthew, verse 2 and 3 says, and Jesus called the little child on him and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become like a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And all who will ever be saved must come in childlike faith. That's how we come. And Jesus said, of such the kingdom of God. Remember, every child that has not reached the age of understanding and dies, I believe, goes to be with the Lord. Straight to heaven. But I said already 90% of people get saved when they're young. And you know, it's young. When we're young, we learn all the bad habits. Young people get into the wrong company. They learn to smoke. They learn to drink. You don't learn to drink and smoke when you're old. You learn it when you're young. It's when you're young, you learn all the bad habits. And it is when you're young. And we have a duty that when our children's young, the Bible says, if you train a child up in the way of the Lord, they'll not depart from it. You know, let me tell you this story, and I won't mention the man's name, but this man is a powerful preacher. And as far as I know, he's still living, and he's been mightily used to God. And he preaches around a very big movement. And he's a real evangelist. And he brought his children up to serve the Lord. But he had one young daughter, and that one young daughter didn't serve the Lord. She joined a rock band. She went away from the Lord and she joined a rock band. Now, wouldn't you think that her joining a rock band and his fellow pastors and ministers would pray with them for that young girl? But they didn't. They ridiculed him. And they said, there he's up preaching and his daughter's in a rock band. And there he's up doing this and he's doing that. His daughter's not serving the Lord. She's in a rock band. And this preacher says that many nights his wife lay over his daughter's bed weeping and crying and pleading to God and asking God to save her and get a hold of her. And he had brought her up in church and she was actually baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And spoke in tongues and everything, and operated gifts. But somewhere along, she got backslid and joined a rock band. They ridiculed this preacher. They didn't join with him and pray with him. They ridiculed him. He's up preaching. And this man of God said he would go away to the Philippines and other countries and preach to young people, and he'd have 500 conversions after services. And their man was ridiculing them. And talking about him, if he was God's servant, surely this wouldn't happen. Someone else wouldn't happen. And I tell you, isn't that the way of it tonight? I tell you, you can train the child up in the way of the Lord. They'll not depart from it, the Bible tells us. But sometimes they go astray because they learn things when they're young. But we need to not give up hope on them. We need to pray for them. And I'll tell you, if you have a loved one tonight, or a son or a daughter that's away and wild, you don't need somebody to ridicule you. You need some man or woman of God that's faith to pray with you. to join with you. Not to give you a holy lecture, but to pray. And that's why the Bible's so clear that we're to come in our youth. People are so influenced in the youth. Youth harvest passes. People get older, and what happens? They get set in their ways. Set in their ways. And you know, it's so true sometimes, and I preach many churches myself, the Spirit of God can move and young people get saved, and there's older people that's not saved, and many times I'll say to you, that was a good meeting. You know what a good meeting is. But that's as far as it goes. It was a good meeting, but they still don't get saved. And they put it off and they don't get saved. But the Bible says, seek God today. So there's the harvest of youth. Then there's another harvest. There's the harvest of God's special dealing passes. A harvest of God's special dealing. And you know, there's times when God specifically moves on families. And God takes a special dealing with families. And I tell you, in 1989, God moved in our family in a special way. God moved on me. I was in the High Bank jail. God moved on my dad. He was outside of jail. There's other people that God moved on at the same time. And God moved in a special way, special dealings. And there's seasons when God moves. And I'm going to tell you a wee thing. Them seasons can come and we don't think of it. But when we look back on it years later, we have to acknowledge that that was God that moved. And we can't click our fingers and make that happen. That was the grace of God that did that. God moves special seasons, times when the Holy Spirit deals with men and women and moves on them to be saved. Special times, special dealing with the souls of men. Then here's a third time, the harvest when the reapers may pass away. And God has had some wonderful reapers and some wonderful men of God, and for some reason, they're born and they're gifted to see people saved. And other people think, well, we'll just do what brother so-and-so's doing, and he's seeing people saved, and we'll see people saved, but they won't. And I don't know why it is, but God has called some men specially to be evangelists, where many people get saved through their ministry. And them men can go. And when them men go, it might just not happen like that. That God decides again. And God gives reapers, men and women, fair notice, maybe a tract, a word spoken, special little gospel meeting somewhere. But those reapers pass. When you think of this, here in the land of Ulster, you think of it now. Think of meetings today and how many comes to meetings today. And you think that years ago, here in this land, on a Sunday, on a mid-evening, in places there was 15 to 14 people getting saved every single week. And then it stops. And you can't make that happen again. That is a move of God. That is a special time when God moves. And you think of the late William Mullen, and I'm just mentioning one man. In Lurgan here, 500 people attended its midweek Bible studies. 500 people. White Wells, over 1,000 attended their Bible study. I know people say, well, they don't know all the full truth and all the rest of it. Well, that might be. They mightn't see everything like us, but the devil didn't take them along. That's one thing I can guarantee you. The devil never took them to them Bible studies. But I'm telling you, God was moving. Many other great servants of the Lord, this land, telling men and women of salvation. There's a man I've mentioned, James McCone, went to Africa, started hundreds and hundreds of churches. And people here wouldn't even know him. God used him. Then here's another harvest. Here's a fourth one. The harvest of the Holy Spirit conviction and pleading may pass away. John 4:44. No man, can come to me except my Father, which have sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Genesis 6:3 says, and the Lord said, my spirit will not always strive a man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120. Look what God's servant Stephen said when he stood before the people. In the book of Acts 7:51, ye stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, do ye always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you. And God's Spirit can move, and people don't recognize it. Look, even in the 20th century. Look, it's not that long ago when God sent a mighty ministry, the Spirit of Elijah, to turn their hearts. But how many people believe it today? How many people want to know about it? They don't see any importance to it. And yet God did it. God did it for a reason. But they don't want to know about it. Special times of God dealing. And what sin can a man or a woman commit as vile as deliberately resist the pleading of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, who comes to the heart of man to make him sober him up and convict him, but they put it off. And God says, my spirit will not always thrive a man. Matthew 12:31-32, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven. Now I hear men today, and a lot of people's been hoodwinked over this last few years. They go on YouTube and they listen to false prophets condemning William Branham and other men of God as well, trying to disprove the prophecies and the different things. Never waste your time with that garbage. That's what I'm telling you today tonight. Pure garbage. Do you realize anything the Holy Spirit has really done, if you speak against it, you'll never be forgiven. That's the Bible. And I'll tell you, I haven't got time to listen to a couple of false prophets that never went on a mission, that never seen souls saved, that wouldn't know the power of God if it was in front of them, that wouldn't even know it, condemning God's servants. And we know tonight, we know around what's known as the message movement, there's a lot of stuff we don't believe in. But we believe there was a messenger sent from God, and his message was true. We believe that. And it's real tonight. And I don't swallow all that goes round, but I believe that was a message sent from God. And look what God displayed again, the gift God displayed again. Show me where it is today and you can't, because God done it. But men didn't believe it, didn't recognize it. Verse 32 says, and whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor the world to come. And I tell you, it's an awful thing, serious thing, when people speak against the work of the Holy Spirit. All manner of sin will be forgiven, but the word spoken against the Holy Spirit not be forgiven. And you know, the old preachers used to say, grieving the Holy, the unpardonable sin, they called it, was resisting the Holy Spirit for the last time. Now, I know that's not all the truth, but that is partly true. When you resist the Holy Spirit for the last time, you'll be lost. And there's people that God deals with, there's people that God moves on, but they do nothing about it. They put it off for the last time. Hebrews 10:29 says, O house, much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of Christ, the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. There's a way for any sinner to be saved. No way except the Spirit of God moves him. It's the Spirit of God that moves a man, that convicts him or her, and leads him to complete repentance and surrender and to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another harvest, fifth one. The harvest, an opportunity of revival times, passes away. And I tell you, when you look back, even in when God's moved, maybe not in a massive way, but yet you can go back at a time when God moves. And then when you don't have that time, you can't just make it happen. But there's times when God moved in revival. Special times when God moved in revival. We all would acknowledge that most people get saved under times of persecution when God sends revival. When God himself visits a nation, many times people will come and get saved in the hundreds and the thousands when God visits a nation. Let me read you some facts tonight from history. In 1859 revival, over 2 million people were converted. In the 1859 revival, 2 million people were saved in the 1859 revival. In Norway and Sweden during this time, was estimated that there's 250 converts in those countries saved during the revival. What about Belfast, the Botanic Gardens here in Belfast? Meetings, 40,000 met outside praying in the Botanic Gardens in Belfast. That's revival. That's a move of God. That time has went. We can't make that happen. It has to be God that does it. The true mark of a real revival is hundreds of prayer meetings going on everywhere. In the parish of Connor, at least 100 prayer meetings going on week by week. In the city of Armagh, 20,000 attended. Let me read you this. In Dublin, as many as 45 prayer meetings in Dublin. I hear people talk about taking the gospel to Dublin and the gospel to the south. Dublin has had the gospel years and years ago already. If you go down tonight, you're not taking the gospel to the south. It's been in it for years. There's been men already there. This is 1859. That's how far back we're going here. Hundreds of prayer meetings. Even the great famous C.H. Spurgeon preached in Dublin. Did you know that? He preached in Dublin. He spoke at some of these meetings. 2,000 attended a prayer meeting in Cork. 2,000. The effect of revival. The effect of revival on the Mayor's race course. On the 26th of October, these races were held, and only 500 persons turned up because God was moving. And they weren't going to see the race horses. They were coming to church. What are you saying? I'm telling you, we need a move of God. Norway, 10,000 to 15,000 turned up. Revival passes, and still many are not saved. You know also, and you check the history, and this is true. I know people say this, and they say, oh, we've heard that before, but it's fact. Revival come all over this country and bypassed Tramore. Never touched it. Now I know there's people in Tramore saved. And I know there's people in Tramore could save, but I'm talking about a move. Real move of God. And there's places it's bypassed. And there's other places it came. And that's God's doing. And I tell you, we need a move of God. I tell you, we've had these big rain showers, but we need a spiritual rain shower. Amen? Coming in our families, coming in our homes, coming in our fellowships. People thought the Lord would come years ago, but the Lord hasn't come yet. And I believe the Lord's coming. But we need to have an attitude. What will we do when he comes? We need to be ready. The best way to be ready is winning souls. souls. That's what I believe. Here's the last thing I want to talk about tonight for a moment. And then we're going to close. The harvest of life itself will certainly pass. Proverbs 29:1 says, he that been often reproved and hardened of his neck shall be suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he saith, I've heard thee in an accepted time, and a day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. Isaiah 55:6-7, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and our God, for he will abundantly pardon. But you know, too late will be the cry for many when Jesus of Nazareth has passed by. Today is the day to get saved. God's last train for heaven. We need to be on that train. We need to be ready to go. Ready to go to be with the Lord. We need to be praying in these evil days like never before. Praying for our loved ones. Praying that God will move. Praying that God will have his way. And people will get saved. Amen. Isn't that the truth? And I tell you, I would that people would get saved. And they'd come to know the Lord. I want us to close our eyes tonight. I'm going to pray, and then there's one sister who wants hands laid on for prayer. She hasn't been too well, and I want Brother John to come, and we'll lay hands on her in a moment and pray with her, maybe while still Sister Alva plays something in a moment. But if there's anyone else as well as that sister, and you want prayer, you want to come for prayer, and you need a touch from the Lord, we believe in laying hands on the sick, and they'll recover. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you tonight for your mercy, for your grace, for your love and your truth you've shown toward each and every one of us. Father, I pray that you'll speak on, Lord, while the voice of man's silent. Pray the Holy Spirit will speak on. I pray, Lord, you'll help each and every one of us. Lord, that our loved ones will get saved. Lord, we're asking you for mercy. We're asking you for grace. That you'll speak to them again, move them again, strive with them again. But, oh God, move us again as your people. Breathe on us afresh the breath of life. Breathe amongst us the Holy Ghost blessing. And oh God, help us to recognize our hour, what time it is. Lord, just like your servant preached, what time is it, sirs? Lord, we know we're at the end time. Know that the coming of the Lord's nigh. We know that we're soon to be caught up, caught out in the way, changed to be with the Lord. Father, we pray you'll save all of our families. Move on that young girl, that young man, the older girl or man. Speak to them and save them, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. And Father, we just ask for the Holy Spirit to move. And we pray especially tonight for the backsliders. Lord, there's so many distractions in the world that can pull the people away, but we pray that the Holy Spirit will draw them back and bring them back to the house of God. In Jesus' precious name. Father, you know so many things in our hearts tonight. And we just commit it all to you. I pray that you'll bless Gary tonight and Belfast, that you'll use him, that you'll speak through him, that you'll move in that place in Jesus' precious name. And bless the musicians here, and bless Mark and Alva and all the family, and Nigel and Catherine and all the family, and Lord, even brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and all that's near and dear to us, comfort and strengthen tonight. And save, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I just asked you maybe from a verse or something that was said at the funeral service that you'll speak to men and women, that the Holy Spirit will continue to move and strive for men and women that somebody will get saved and come to know you, Lord. Grant it, I pray, Lord Jesus. Grant your mercy and grace to be upon us in Jesus' precious name. Father, just be with us now, Lord, as we come to close the night. And this week, if thou wouldst tarry, be with your people as we acknowledge you in all our ways, knowing you'll direct our paths. And any that's laid aside sick, touch them tonight, minister on them tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to ask Sister Oliver to come and mark. We just softly sing something, and then anyone wants prayer, you come just for a moment before we go. And the Lord bless you. We'll be back Thursday night. The Lord will. God bless.
And we'll sing that Jesus was slain for me. And I don't know where there's still oil here, is there? Tell me. If you want prayer, come on ahead on our barge on. Pray we anoint you with oil. Jesus was slain for me at Calvary. Crowned with thorns was he at Calvary. There he in anguish died. There from his open side poured forth the crimson tide at Calvary. Amen. We'll stand our feet, please.
Jesus was slain for me at Calvary. Crowned with thorns was he at Calvary. There he in anguish died. There from his open side poured forth his crimson tide at Calvary. Pardoned is all my sin.
If you want prayer, come on ahead. If you want prayer tonight,
cleanses my heart within. Calvary, our robes of praise I wear, honor my grave and care, rise for my burden there at Calvary. Wondrous is love for me at Calvary. Glorious is victory at Calvary. Vanquished are death and hell. Oh, let his praises swell. Ever my tongue shall tell of Calvary. Jesus slain for me at Calvary. Crowned with thorns was he at Calvary.